Much like Jesse Pinkman, Amazon.com can also get to you where you really live. Get the best deals on everything you need and help support Rob Has a Podcast when you start your shopping at robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who just spilled gasoline all over his crotch, Rob Cesternino. My groin. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our, oh my God, we're halfway there, four episodes through these final eight episodes of Stretch Run. And here is a guy who I hope is not considering to put me in any sort of Old Yeller situation here tonight. Antonio Mazzaro.
Hi, Rob. I actually was just going to recommend that you come out behind the barn and have a little chat with me.
No.
I pretend it has nothing to do with Old Yeller whatsoever, though. It's just a really nice place to talk, Rob. We could podcast.
Nice try, you a-hole. That's not going to work. Okay, here we go. So we are live here tonight after episode number four of this final stretch run. Technically, season five, episode 12 of the final season here of Breaking Bad. And we are live on robhasawebsite.com and on my YouTube channel at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. You can go there and submit your questions during the show by clicking this video. Or you could use on Twitter, hashtag RHAP, and our producer behind the scenes, Scott St. Pierre, is monitoring Twitter, looking for your tweets with hashtag RHAP, and we will take your questions all throughout the show here tonight. So, Antonio, how are you doing this week? Happy Labor Day.
Happy Labor Day. I'm pretty good. I don't feel the need to research the effects of any undetectable poisons. So I think we're all right. I think we're all right tonight.
Yes. Okay. So the big story here tonight, we had sort of a Rashomon. I saw people on my timeline on Twitter calling this a very Lost-like episode. We had multiple perspectives. You can call it Tarantino-esque, if you will. But we had first the story from Walt's POV and then the story from Jesse's POV. Which story did you prefer, the Walt POV or the Jesse POV?
I preferred the Jesse POV because that's kind of, I think, where we ended off the last episode. So that's what I was most curious to see picked back up. And of course, like, it was interesting to see Walt kind of waiting there like a killer shark or some kind of something in the water just waiting to pounce on Jesse. But I much preferred seeing exactly where we left off from the last episode.
Yeah, then the Jesse POV, I thought, explained a lot. And then once Jesse got in the car with Hank, I felt like it wasn't as exciting as I had thought the Jesse POV might actually be.
You mean you weren't thrilled when, as soon as that scene ended, the next scene he was just basically asleep?
Well,
it's just a laugh a minute there when we cut to Jesse asleep in a bed, the action is just nonstop at that point. Yeah.
Well, we'll go through this whole thing beat by beat, but just the cliffhanger that we're left with this week is Jesse doesn't go and talk to Walter, and he says, "I've got a better way to get him. I'm going to get him where he really lives." What in the world is Jesse talking about?
Yeah, I don't really. I'm wondering the same thing. If you wanted to really suss that out, if Jesse knows Mr. White, he knows that Walt loves credit, and he knows that Walt really loves, being revered and being respected. And so I guess the first thing that Jesse can do is really, ruin Walt's reputation somehow. How he does that, is Jesse the one who reveals to the public that Walt is the great Heisenberg?
By spray painting it in his house?
I'm not sure that would really get the public's attention.
Oh.
I mean, maybe Jesse will put the recipe on the internet. I don't know exactly how this will play out, but I think where Walt really lives.
Put the recipe on the internet. Is Walt like the soup Nazi? And if any of his recipes get out, he'll be ruined?
Yeah, Jesse will put just a list of ingredients for meth in some armoire, and then someone will pick it up secondhand, and everything will get undone pretty quickly. Yeah, I think that's. I'm pretty sure that's how they're going to end these last four episodes.
Next!
It's a giant Seinfeld tie-in is what this show has ultimately been building to. So, I do think that Walt's reputation is pretty key, and You know, so if Jesse found some way to really undo that, I think that would really get at where Walt really lived. But I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know. I don't know what that means. I'm going to get him where he really lives. It's not like, you know, he has the super lab and he was going to get him there. I mean, Walt does not have a second address. Like, there's no other place other than he doesn't still have the apartment from way back with that season two or three when Marie kicked him out or when Skyler kicked him out.
So that's he doesn't have that, you know. I maybe, you know, I he doesn't, you know, Jesse's already come at the actual house where he lives,
The car wash?
and you know, maybe where he really lives. Yeah, he's gonna make sure no one has an A1 day. How he'll do that, I don't know. Maybe he'll rip the letters off of the sign. Maybe he'll change the chemicals in the car to spray paint. I really don't know what he'll do. But no, I think it'll have ultimately something to do with Walt's reputation as this criminal mastermind, and I think Jesse can go a long way to undoing that. I mean, Jesse knows who Walt's enemies would still be. He knows where Walt's got loose ends, so I can see Jesse kind of really going at that. But I don't see how Hank's going to approve of that.
Yeah, I don't know that it was very interesting to see the dynamic there by the end of the episode that it was very clear Hank does not give a rat's ass about Jesse. And you almost feel bad for him that neither side, it's actually Walt cares about Jesse more than Hank cares about Jesse. Even though Walt is working with Hank to take down, I'm sorry, Jesse is working with Hank to take down Walt. That Hank could not care less about Jesse. All he wants is taking down Walt.
Yeah, and it beyond not even just that, he has, and we'll get to this in the episode, but you know, you get to the point where Hank has information that could take down probably the biggest, maybe one of the biggest international drug busts or drug cartels that his DEA is ever going to see. He's got information about Lydia and Madrigal and everything. And you know, what does he want to do? He wants to take Walter White out, who's retired already. And it's really showing that, you know, obviously this has become totally personal to Hank. And even when he's got Gomi involved now to look at any of these other elements of it, no, we got to get Walter White. Got to get the retired guy who's made me personally upset.
All right,
So yeah, he doesn't care. Yeah, he doesn't care about Jesse at all.
yeah, Antonio, let's jump into this and let's take this piece by piece. And again, we want to hear from you guys on this. It's the most fun when we get our questions from you guys. Use the hashtag RHAP or leave us your comments here on YouTube. Let's jump into it. So, all right, so we come back with Walt coming into the house with his frozen gun, which has defrosted. And he's all around looking for Jesse, calling out to Jesse. Very tense moments here at the house. And we see Jesse's not home.
Yeah, Jesse is gone. You know, the question is, was Walt going to actively shoot to kill Jesse? Was he shooting in self-defense? I think we later realized Walt was probably not going to kill Jesse outwardly. He may have felt like he had to. But I don't think that was his prime motivation. I don't know what your thoughts on that were.
Yeah, I
You know,
don't
was he
know.
going in there to kill him?
Also, if you fire a gun when you're standing on a carpet soaked in gasoline, is that liable to set the house on fire?
Yeah, it certainly is liable to do so. It depends on where he shoots, I guess. I hope he doesn't say, "Dance, Jesse," and like shoot at the ground and then see what happens, right? Yeah, I don't think that would be a good plan.
Yeah, that would be a very bad plan. As it goes along. And so now Jesse in his car, so he steals Saul Goodman's car and has a, at first I didn't know what that was on the dashboard, apparently a CD with Coke. Did Jesse have the Coke on him? Did he stop to get the Coke?
Yeah, he must have stopped to get it at some point. I don't think he had it on him when he was at the stop waiting for the identity guy. He went right to Saul's presumably after that. So he must have had it. Maybe he had it in his car.
Did
I don't
Huel?
know.
Well, he had Saul Goodman's car.
Oh, that's a good point. Well, we know Saul Goodman's car has cocaine. I mean, the seats are made of coke. So yeah,
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably where he got it. It
It's a
was
good
probably just
thing
sitting there.
Huel didn't take Jesse's coke when he took his weed. Somebody sent me a tweet earlier today that said, "Hey, screw that Brock kid. He lived. I'd be more mad that Huel stole my weed if I was Jesse."
Yeah, that sounds like a very sad person.
That sounds like the kind of tweet that Rob Cisternino gets.
That's a cry for help, Rob. You should tweet that to like some sort of Twitter support line. It's a cry for help, I think.
So Jesse, let's just so Jesse goes to he goes to Saul Goodman's. Did he have a gun when he went to Saul's last week? He
Yeah, I
did,
mean,
right?
he trained it on Saul. He was ready to take him out. Yeah,
So
he
at
was
some
ready to
point
go, so.
between being at the drop and Saul Goodman's, he gets a gun. He somehow comes into possession of coke. He steals Saul Goodman's car, and he also gets a large what do you call that? The can of gasoline? Is there a name for the when you run out of gas thing? Canister?
Yeah, just a gas can. Yeah, just a gas can.
Yeah. So Jesse had like a pretty good shopping list of things he needed to get. You would think that you wouldn't be able to get a gun, coke, and a can full of gas in the same place.
He obviously went to Walmart.
One-stop shopping. So
Yeah.
we see, okay, so everything is all wet with the gasoline and it's no Jesse in sight. So we just bring in the wet vac guys and easy come, easy go. That's looks like an open and shut case here at Walter's house.
Yeah, this was interesting to me because, we've seen Walt really frantic in the past about covering up evidence or, making sure that he's getting away with things. But I mean, this is a time where he's just doing it so Skyler won't notice. I mean, he's concerned, like, it has to be the same key. We can't reveal that. He's not worried about any life-threatening thing or, being tracked by anyone. He's just worried that his wife's going to find out. And I mean, this really is the whole Michael Corleone thing we've been talking about. Like this whole time, but just when I think I'm out, I get pulled back in. Walt really seems to have been trying to leave some of this life behind, to the point where he's more concerned about what his wife's going to find out than really much else when this ultimately happens. So I think it's kind of a sad Walter White in that regard. This is a drug kingpin undone by his own decisions, but he's more worried about his wife finding out.
And little does he know, Mrs. White is more open to the foul play than we believe. But we'll more on that in a bit. So, what do you think of the story that Walter comes up with that he was at the gas station and the gas pump exploded on him and he got covered in gasoline and he ran home and took off all his clothes in the living room and then took a shower and then realized, oh my God, I let my gas-soaked clothes I left them in the living room. Were you buying this story? Could Heisenberg have come up with a better story than this?
Yeah, it seems like anytime Walter has to lie with advance kind of he doesn't do as well like when he's really got to come up with these stories. Like he's really kind of good in the moment, or he's good when he really sits down to hatch a plan, but when he has to come up with some cover story, he often just really falters and flubs it out. And this was so bad that Walter Jr. wasn't even buying it, right? Like he saw right through it. It's like, Dad, no. Like he just
Yeah.
when Walter Jr.'s not buying it, I mean, and then you really didn't do so well with your lie.
Yeah, sometimes Walt really lays an egg with some of these stories that he's telling people. Like sometimes like he can be like very convincing, whether it's convincing Jesse that Gus gave Brock the ricin or convincing the feds that he was making meth for Hank, but sometimes he gets into that, oh shucks, I was at the gas station, and wouldn't you know, the whole thing I got gas on my shirt and in my groin, and it was a rotten day. How was enough about me? Enough about me. How was your day? Like sometimes, like he's just really lousy sometimes.
It's that in those moments he's the dad from Malcolm in the Middle,
Yeah.
right? Like that's when he's like playing the romantic comedy or just a bumbling like idiot dad who with a few different twists the Breaking Bad show could be a different show for sure.
Yeah. So even Walter Jr. says, "Hey, Dad, why don't you just tell us the truth?" And it's like, "Oh boy, this is now Walter is busted." And Walter Jr. comes up with this story that I know you passed out from the cancer, Dad. Why don't you tell me what happened? And Walter Jr. Walt does play this perfect. He's like, "No, that's not what happened." And he's like, "Dad, come on, I know." He's like, "All right, maybe that's what happened." So he does a good job with that on the good recovery with Walt Jr.
Yeah. Although even if we like unpack Walt Jr.'s version of events a little bit, That still doesn't make sense, right? Like he's at the gas pump and he's just overcome with fumes, or maybe a little bit of just he's got the cancer disease or something, and he goes down to the ground, and what? Then the pump overflows at that point? I mean, does the auto stop not working? I mean, if we even think about Walt Jr. almost wants to believe this. I don't know if he wants to get SaveWalterWhite.com back up and running or what, but he really wants it to be the cancer.
Hold on. This just in from the chat room. The issues guy informs us. Okay, so Jesse got the gun from Saul. That Saul was going to get out the gun, and Jesse took it from him. So he took it when Saul tried to pick it up, and he kicked Saul's ass. And then, so he only had to get the Coke and the gas can and stop at the gas station to fill it up. So only a couple other things on Jesse's. Now, did Saul have the CD, or did he have to stop and buy a CD also?
Well, that's a good question. And I wonder if Saul had the CD, what CD what do we think that was? Is it just God Bless America or the Battle Hymn of the Republic playing on a loop? I mean, what, I don't know what that would have been.
I was wondering, maybe is it an extra copy of the DVD Walt made last week?
Yeah, I thought maybe it was Neil Diamond. That seems like something Saul would really get into. So I don't know. Yeah, you got me. We may find out. Walt took it. I mean, I didn't know if there was any significance to it. I thought there was at the beginning, but now I really don't think that there is.
Hmm. Also, Scott St. Pierre says the gas can is called a jerry can.
I haven't heard that. That seems like a World War II term, maybe.
there you go. All right. So then after that, so this really sets up perfectly for Walt to sell everybody on, hey, why don't we just take a nice family trip to a hotel? And there we go. And that sets up getting everybody out of the house. So in the end, this all ends up working out perfectly for Walt and the Whites.
Yeah, it's just one big happy little staycation there in Albuquerque's finest establishment with pay-per-view and room service. I mean, that's just it's a castle for Walter Jr. You can get all the breakfast he wants.
Yeah, is there a buffet? Could he just keep going back up for seconds and thirds?
Yeah, just keep calling. More eggs, more bacon. Just bring it.
Keep bringing it. So then Walter goes down to go to the car, and he talks with Saul, who is not looking too good after his run-in with Jesse last week. And so, and he's got the guys with him. He's got Huel also, right? And so they're talking about all the things that they're doing, and they even have a bug in Badger's house, or Beaver, as Walt called him, and Badger spent 3 hours talking to his mom about something called Babylon 5. How do you like
that?
Yeah,
what are the odds? It sounds like to me like Badger would be a perfect Rob as a podcast guest, right? Like, he's probably unpacking some great Babylon 5 moments. Maybe he did a top 15 list or a top 20. Maybe he did a Babylon friggin' 5.
Oh.
I don't know. I don't know, you know. So maybe that's what he was doing. It's hard to say, but he sounds like he would fit right in here at Rob Has a Podcast.
Yeah, we haven't covered a lot of sci-fi dramas, but it would be fun to certainly do. I was not a Babylon 5 fan. But do you feel like that it would be more believable if Badger was talking Battlestar Galactica than Babylon 5?
Yeah, I mean, Badger was probably not thrilled with the ending of BSG. So, you know, he probably would have a lot more to say about, you know, what to make of Starbuck and things like that. But, I think it would be a little more believable. But I think it fits in line with his pie-eating episode from a couple episodes ago. So I certainly believable there. And then, do we have a Q tie-in as well, or is that not?
Sure.
I don't know. We're going back to that again. So yeah, it's all looping together.
So Saul has an idea about what to do with Jesse, and very similarly to his suggestion to send Hank off to Belize, he comes up with the idea. He says this is like an old Yeller situation, and maybe like a rabid dog, Jesse needs to be taken out back and shown the shotgun. Now, in this episode, not just Saul, but also Skyler, as we'll get to in a moment, they both say, hey, you got to take care of this. You got to, you know, nip this thing in the bud. And Walter White says, no, no, Jess, I can talk to Jesse. He's just mad at me. It's not that big a deal. Who's right here? Is Walter sort of underestimating just how angry Jesse is?
I would say Walter's miscalculating. I'm not sure if he's underestimating how angry he is, but I think he's miscalculating his own ability to mitigate that anger. And that's kind of one of his fatal flaws, right? Is that Jesse's this giant loose end, and you know he probably should have taken Jesse out when he took out the 10 guys or when he took out Mike, and instead he paid him off, and that paying him that blood money has sort of led to this downward spiral that has us where we are right now. So Walt has kind of been his own undoing in this regard with Jesse. Showing this human soft spot is what has taken this kingpin and put him in this position where he's gettable and where he's got these loose ends that he can't tie up. So his miscalculation, I think, isn't that Jesse is not as angry as he thinks he is. I think he knows. I think his miscalculation is that, you know, Jesse's somebody that he can handle, that he can manage, that he can ultimately be forgiven for all that he's done to him. And that is a significant miscalculation for sure, but it's part and parcel to the Walter White we know to be so cocky and so full of hubris that he can somehow work his way out of this situation. I think that's the miscalculation.
So do you think the ending of Breaking Bad is that we're headed towards the Scooby-Doo ending where we unmask Heisenberg, that it was Mr. White? And Jesse was the guy, and he says, oh, well, you know, I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for you damn meddling Jesse Pinkman.
You think they could cook meth in the mystery machine?
Probably. I think that's how the show started.
Well, yeah, I think it's Scooby Snacks or Blue Crystal. Yeah, I think that would work really well. Scrappy was always a little amped up, so that makes a lot of sense, actually.
Makes a lot of sense. So after we have this conversation, and Walter, very threatened, he threatens Saul and says, do not float that idea again about killing Jesse. So he did not like any of Saul's colorful metaphors as much as we do.
Yeah, he really didn't. And again, this is Walter kind of being weak, I think, in that it's him being human. Like, he doesn't want to entertain the idea of getting rid of Hank. He doesn't want to entertain the idea of getting rid of Jesse. These are like close bridges that he won't cross. But by not crossing them, these are the bridges that are going to collapse on him. And, you know, that they're going to make it basically so that he can't get where he needs to get to. And so he's very angry. That's great. But that anger and that bullheadedness about this, he probably should have listened to his lawyer, is what I'm saying, Rob. If more people would listen to their lawyers, this world would be a better place.
Right. And now some would say if more people listened to their wives, this world would be a better place. So Walt has a conversation with Skyler, which I think is one of the more interesting conversations in the show's entire run here, where basically Skyler calls Walt out and says, hey, how was Saul Goodman? And he's like, how did you know that? And she's spying on him and she doesn't care. So basically he comes clean and he says, hey, look, all right, Jesse Pinkman, but he changed his mind and whatever. And Skyler asks him point blank, so he's never hurt anybody, this Jesse Pinkman? And this is now definitely a lie here from Walt that Jesse Pinkman has not hurt anybody.
Yeah, well, he's maybe not hurt anybody that Walt didn't want him to hurt, right? So, like, if Walt doesn't want him to hurt Walt, then maybe Walt thinks he'll be safe. But, yeah, this is a huge lie. This is a Gale-sized whopper at the very least.
Yeah. So Skyler tells him that she channels that famous the one that knocks speech. And she said, you know, I had asked you if what was going to happen if someone came and knocked at the door. And, of course, we know how Walt replied to that. But he said, someday somebody's going to come knock at that door and he's going to be, you know, in trouble. There's going to be danger there. And Walt is in denial that the family is in danger from Jesse.
Yeah, again, this is Walt just being, you know, guilty of the crime of just being so sure of himself that, you know, he can get away with this sort of thing. I mean, he doesn't, I guess, tend to realize that you can push people too far. And the rabid dog metaphor is a really good one, right? Because your beloved best friend, family pet, whatever, sidekick, if you will, can be with you all along. And then if it gets rabies, you know, it could bite you and kill you. So Walt has given Jesse rabies at this point. I don't think anyone would question that. And where this goes now is on Walt. And certainly Skyler's in the right to say, hey, you let all these other things happen. Like, what's one more? Like, what is one more? Like, really? So I think that's accurate. She's definitely flipped the switch.
Yeah, she said you have to deal with this, and she asks, "What's one more?" As she is downing a lot of hotel bottle vodka, in a lot of drinking going on in the White residence, and why not down a tumbler of vodka after you're telling your husband to go kill some people?
Right. I mean, and what was that, Sky Vodka, do you think?
Oh, there you go. Let's just real quick. I know so much gets made of on all of these classic dramas between the role of the wife or the girlfriend or whatever. And I just want to compare Skyler with Carmela here. And I know not everybody is a Sopranos fan, but it's on constantly in my house. And for the huge difference here. There's no question anymore at this point that you can't even compare these two, because where Carmela was always sort of kind of tried as much as she could to look the other way with what Tony really did, now Skyler is now telling Walter that he needs to commit murders.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about Carmela, I mean, she knew where the guns were, right? So if she felt like her house was under attack, she knew what closet to go to pull out the weapon she needed to pull out to protect her family. And she made some decisions with her marriage at times that certainly one could say she was taking the lead and taking the bull by the horns. But she never got involved to the point where she was running Tony's business with him, doing things like that. And yeah, I think in that regard, this is like Carmela 2.0, right? Like, this is a much better character in that regard because she has an arc, she has a progression. I think most people's frustration with Carmela would be, where did she really end up differently at the end of the series that she was at the beginning? I don't think people would say that about Skyler White. Like, she broke bad just as well, and there's just as fascinating of a portrayal, maybe not on screen as much, and certainly not the center of the story, but where she goes. I think it's much better in terms of the dramatic tension there.
Yeah, very little plausible deniability for Skylar at this point.
Yeah, she absolutely is. Her hands have blood all over them, and yet when it comes down to it, like the people that are involved, like Hank, he meets her at the diner and he's hugging her, like, "Oh, I'm sorry this happened to you," not knowing that she's played a pretty key role in some key moments of it, and she's certainly cognizant of it and has participated. So she went to that four corners at that one moment and had the opportunity to blow away, and she never did. So she's definitely responsible for a lot of what's involved here.
All right, now let's see things from the Jesse Pinkman perspective. And we go back to Jesse with his gas can, pouring it all out all over Walter White's house. And then here comes Hank to save the day. Put down the gas can, Jesse.
Yeah, put down the jerry can, Pinkman. Let's get this
Yes.
done.
Yes. And he
And
says,
Jesse right away is blurted out. He's like, "You poisoned a little kid. Let's talk about it." Like, so two episodes ago, Jesse was giving Hank the high hat and the cold shoulder, and now he's just ready to burn him, and literally and figuratively.
yeah, Jesse's just looking for like a middle-aged guy to hang out with all the time.
And preferably bald. If he could be bald, that would be great.
Yeah. Jesse's like, "Hey, is there a middle-aged guy here in Albuquerque for me to hang out with and spend all my time with? That would be
He
really
should throw
ideal."
that. He should throw that up on Craigslist. I'm sure he would get some good responses.
Probably. So then, so basically, Hank says, "Hey, you want to burn him down? Like, come with me. Let's do this." Are you surprised that Jesse went with Hank?
I'm not. I feel like the whole Brock thing was definitely, it really kind of unraveled a lot of what Jesse had built up from a protection standpoint. And he was already feeling responsible, already thinking of things as blood money. He was already ready to kill Walter over the whole Brock thing at a certain point at the end of season four. So for us now to get to the point where when he's really pulled the scab off of that wound, that he's ready to kind of deal with Hank, I wasn't surprised. No.
Okay, so now after we get the scene, they're driving along in the cop car, and Jesse's like, "Hey, where are we going?" And Hank says, "Oh, DEA." And Jesse's like, "Oh boy, that's gonna go really great for me when you bring me over to DEA. We know how Walter White handles state witnesses, So they make a smart move, I think, by getting Jesse off the grid here.
Yeah, I mean, this we can talk all we want about Hank maybe being too dogged in his pursuit, or, you know, maybe he's like losing sight and he's got tunnel vision. But this was a really smart thing, for sure. I agree. Even though it ends up with, you know, a coked out sleeping pill addled Jesse crashing in his guest room looking at his biography.
Be careful with that. That's the River Phoenix.
I know, and we don't want that. We don't want that. Hank doesn't have a Viper room at his house, and I think everything will be safe for Jesse. But, yeah, I don't think Marie was necessarily too comfortable with that situation until Hank really explained it.
So now we cut to Marie over in therapy, and I'm hoping that this does not become a staple of the final four episodes of Breaking Bad here, of Marie's therapy sessions. Maybe akin, to go back to Sopranos, to Melfi's therapy sessions. So here's Marie with her therapist, and the only thing that's interesting that comes to this is Marie is thinking about all sorts of different ways to poison somebody. Do we think that this is something that is going to come to fruition, or do you think that this is just a purple herring?
Well, communism is always a purple herring. I definitely thought that. I think it's just thrown out there. I mean, maybe she'll poison her therapist. I would like to see, you know, I would like to suss that out a little bit. I'd like to hear the therapist say, "Let's talk about the color purple again. Can we get back to the purple thing? Can we talk about that?" Because he wanted to talk about her work parking situation. You know, it's like, wait a minute now. We have this life and death thing where, like, my brother-in-law is this giant drug kingpin. But, yeah, let's talk about the work parking thing. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny.
I mean, what scenario does Marie think that she's going to get a chance to poison Walter? Is there going to be some future barbecue now between Skyler and Hank and Walter and Marie?
Or maybe they'll go back to the Gardunio's restaurant or whatever and get some tableside guac. Just talk it out. Maybe she can get the tableside guac guy involved, and they can mix it up right there with the mortar and pestle at the table.
That sounds delicious. So Marie comes home and says, "Hey, what are my purple suitcases doing out here?" Right?
Yeah. Where the purple pillows are out of place on the couch, and where's the purple comforter? It's in the purple guest room. Who's in there with it? What's going on?
I mean, does Prince even own suitcases like that?
I don't think so. No, that was not from the Prince line. That was special for Marie, I think.
Yeah. So Hank packs up her suitcases and she doesn't want to go anywhere. And I thought for a second, okay, I know where this is going. She's going to the hotel that Walter and Skyler are staying at.
Yeah, maybe they'll in the lobby. Maybe chat over the ice machine. Maybe that's when the poison comes in. Maybe she can, you know,
she can poison
get a little
ice.
Bit in the sanitized for your protection cup, and Walt doesn't pay attention, puts it down, and that's the end of that.
Yeah. So then we have Jesse is sleeping at the house, and Marie is on board because she says, "Is this bad for Walt?" And Hank's like, "Yeah, it's pretty bad." Like, okay, I'm in. Let's make some coffee. Boom.
I'll warm up the lasagna. Let's do this.
Yeah, I'll warm
this
up.
This is how we treat all our witnesses.
Yes.
A nice warm lasagna.
Because, Jesse Pinkman and Garfield, those is the same way you treat those two house guests.
Does that make Walter White Odie? And is Todd Nermal under those circumstances? Who's John? Are we going to really sort this out? Yeah.
Probably. So Chekhov's Hello Kitty phone rings, and Hank answers it, and he gets a voicemail from Walter. He says, "Hey, we need to get together and talk this through."
Yeah, and I think Michael Norris wanted to know why Hank had that Hello Kitty tape recorder. He probably does independently have a Hello Kitty tape recorder. I don't know the American household that is without one, but I thought it was funny that the phone came back up for sure. You know, that phone, that's now the third look at it. It's just, I couldn't help but laugh when I saw it, and seeing Hank hold it made me laugh as well. So,
yeah, we got some real close-ups on the Hello Kitty phone this week also.
Yeah, maybe there's a little bit of, they're trying to get it, break into the Japanese teenage girl audience, which is a coveted demographic for AMC shows. So.
Yes, very coveted. So then we had the scene with Walt Sr. Over by the pool in the hotel. not really anything interesting of note, with the exception of, I feel like this was an important line where Walt says to Walter Jr., you think I'm going to let lung cancer take me down? Is that the show creators telling us that the ending of the show is not Walt dying of cancer?
I think it's definitely like introducing that idea, right? Like I think that is, you know, we want to keep that in play. We want that to be the stakes, and we want there to be some, you know, discussion of that so that we're considering that it could happen. I'm not sure if that's them overtly telling us that, but it's certainly them saying that Walter doesn't feel that way. And whether that means that the end of the show is Walter going out guns blazing and dying before cancer can take him out, and that's his plan, I don't know. But if that's what his mindset is, maybe he's there. I did think that scene was also useful because, you know, this whole Walt and Jesse thing, Jesse's obviously kind of a surrogate son to Walter. He had taught him and, you know, he's trained him and given him, you know, spent more time with him over the course of the series than we've ever seen him spend with Walter Jr. And so here we see in the episode where Walt's having the most problems with Jesse, him coming closer with his actual son, kind of the polar opposites, you know, where he and his son are coming together. He and his other son have drifted very much apart. So I thought there was a nice symmetry to that. And other than that, I agree with you. I don't see really the reason for that scene, but maybe it'll be the most important scene in the show.
Yeah. I just feel like four episodes from now, if the last scene is, you know, Walter in a hospital bed dying of cancer, I feel like this was, you know, did not really tie everything up. Now, again, maybe there's a creative way to do that, but I feel like that is not necessarily the satisfying conclusion to the show that people want to see.
Right. I agree completely.
So we'll see. Although the cancer is a interesting backdrop that could maybe, you know, Walter could do a lot of things like, hey, I'm dying anyway, so I might as well go ahead and do what I have to do.
Yeah, and I think that, well, if we go back to the flash forwards, he's looking a little rough. You know, he's got his hair, so maybe he hasn't been going treatment, but, you know, he's coughing a little bit and he's looking kind of tired and haggard and, you know, he's older, so time has passed, and so it could be really in play as we get into the flash forward for sure.
Now, is it possible that Walter White got an incorrect diagnosis of his lung cancer and actually was perfectly healthy this whole time and put his life in danger a la the 1990 Dabney Coleman film Short Time?
That is a real deep cut, Rob, and that is not something that's on my radar. But it certainly seems possible. I will say, though it didn't mention Dabney Coleman, the official Breaking Bad podcast with Vince Gilligan and the creators and editors, on the last episode, they talked about how when they had Walt go to the doctor at the end of the season 5-1, they weren't sure or not if his cancer would be back. So it does say, I think, that, you know, there's always – the doors are always open for multiple interpretations and multiple storylines, and they really just have kind of, you know, decided, hey, well, let's say his cancer comes back. What are we going to do with it then? And that's kind of how they write the show. So there's definitely a possibility that his cancer could just go away and not factor in at all, although I don't think that'll be the case. That's certainly open.
So over at Hank's house, he breaks out the video camera and is going to have Jesse – give his whole testimony. Would you have liked to have seen more of Jesse's testimony or gestimony?
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen some of the reactions, right? Like I would have liked to have seen the actors who play, you know, or Dean Norris and the guy who plays Gomez. I would have liked to have seen their reactions to kind of what Jesse was spilling out, because it certainly seems, as we see in the aftermath, that he gave him everything that he had. He told him about Drew Sharp. Seemingly, he told him about Gail Bedecker, because Hank refers to Jesse as a murderer. So, you know, he seems to have told them everything. And I think all of that was spurred on by the fact that he saw that picture of Walt dressed like Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Once he saw that, you know, he realized that, like, this guy could be both Santa Claus and the devil at the same time. He was somebody that you had to be really scared of. So he really spit it out. And, yeah, I would have liked to have seen more of that. Do you feel like we were denied something by not seeing it, or?
Well, I don't necessarily mind that, but I do feel like I would have liked to have seen a scene of Hank and Gomi talking about, like, whoa, so your brother-in-law is Heisenberg, and you just... So this whole time that your brother-in-law, that was Heisenberg. Like, I feel like that was probably a long conversation between Gomi and Hank, even before, you know, Gomi comes there to watch Jesse Pinkman. You know, don't you think that that was probably tough to explain for Hank?
Yeah, and I mean, they've really kind of, if you go to, I'm sure, hopefully there's a deleted scene or something to that effect, because they've made it possible that that scene would be there, right? Like, they had Gomi saying, you know, I need my guys, or you're sending my guys without telling me what's going on. Like, what's going on? Oh, it's nice to have you finally back. So this that sort of dramatic tension has already been there between the two of them. So to not have that payoff, it definitely felt a little cheating, because, I mean, these are guys, they're on the first episode of the series together. These guys are both in the pilot. Walt's on the ride along with them. We see their banter. Like, we know their relationship from the beginning of the show. So to see, to not have that, this kind of culminating moment given to us, it does feel like maybe if we had a longer season or something, that would be something we would have seen.
Yeah, I just think it's the kind of thing where there's no way to cleanly show it. Gomi will probably have way too many questions that, you know, the creators maybe don't either want to give us all the answers. It's probably a very long conversation there between Gomi and Hank.
Yeah, so maybe they tried to break it or write it out, and they just couldn't get there because of the difficulties of what you're saying. But yeah. I still feel like I would have liked to have seen something.
However, Antonio, what are the chances that next week's episode is shown from Gomi's POV, and he is at the DEA, and then he gets the phone call from Hank that he's got Jesse Pinkman in the car?
Yeah, I'd really like to get a flashback episode. We've only got four left. I understand that. But if we could get a flashback to Gomi in the academy, you know, what he had going on, maybe his mom, maybe he had a brother who, you know, he had always had a thing with, and, you know, maybe his mom got involved and told him he had to get in the DEA or the world would end. And, you know, that would be a really smart episode, I think, to put one of their last four episodes with. That would make a lot of sense. So, yeah, that's probably what we're going to get, I would imagine. It's been too tense. We need a little bit of a break.
What would go over well? One of the last four episodes of Breaking Bad being from the perspective of Gomi, or one of the last four episodes of Lost being from the perspective of Jacob and the Man in Black?
Yeah, well, that's certainly what I was hinting at. I don't think it could be much worse than that. And, you know, I think Vince Gilligan has a better idea of what to do about loose ends. He kind of just, you know, just brushes by him or plows him down. This show is not going to be too fond of leaving things too wide open, I don't think. So they're not going to need to do any mass cleanup like that.
Yeah. I was talking about this earlier today, that the comparing the stick. Now, again, Breaking Bad's not over, but comparing the final season of Breaking Bad, the final season of Lost, really no comparison. Darlton could learn a thing or two here from the Vince Gilligan, right?
A thing or 200, I think, is really what we're up against. Like, and I know you're not watching the Dexter, and I won't spoil anything, but the final season of Dexter is ambling to, you know, just a boring conclusion. And so it is all to say that this Breaking Bad show has just killed it. And I have every bit of confidence that they're going to stick the landing in these final four. And I don't think we have any reason to believe otherwise. And I feel like they're really setting the tone for future series. Like, this is what you're going to have to live up to. So that's good on them for doing so.
All right. So then let's go to this final scene here. So we've established that Hank, if Jesse dies during this, Hank could not care less. He's already got Jesse on tape. Then that's the smoking gun that Walt is holding if Jesse dies. So he really doesn't care. And so Walt is in the plaza there waiting for Jesse. Do we think that Walt has anything up his sleeve? Was Walt 100% genuine here?
It certainly seems to indicate that he was, right? Like, there was the bald guy who ended up being just a little girl's father that was in play. But I think we were meant to think that he was genuine. And it's interesting because Jesse says, you know, Walter White, he tells you something. And Jesse actually says Walter White at one point. He doesn't just say Mr. White during his little confession. And, you know, he says if he says something, he's going to do the exact opposite or whatever. And it's funny because here Walter told him, you know, I'm going to come unarmed, you know, whatever. And so Jesse presumed he was going to do the exact opposite. And here Walter was seemingly being straight with him. And it's it's interesting because that really would have hurt Walter, right? Like, had he gone and been able to talk to Jesse about all these things, that would have been direct evidence of him, you know, saying those things to Jesse. So in a way, Jesse's fear of Walter actually helped Walter in this circumstance.
And is Jesse guilty of a bit of the racial profiling here?
Well, you know, we know what Jesse feels about bald men in general. So I'm surprised he didn't just go up and, like, you know, kind of sidle up to the guy, like, so hey, you know, what you like, go-karts or video games or what? You know, like, I'm surprised it
Right.
didn't kind of come out and play out that way, knowing what we know about Mr. Pinkman. But yeah, he's guilty of a little profiling for sure. Big bald guy. But aren't we all? I know I certainly am. I'm afraid of Mr. Clean.
And so after Jesse leaves, Walt makes his next phone. Well, he leaves a very threatening phone call for Walter White. Now, Jesse had change in his pocket to use a payphone.
Jesse found a payphone is the bigger story.
Yeah, this is just
It's
in.
2013.
Well, no, hold on, hold on. It's
Oh,
only
sorry.
it's
Yeah,
only like 2009 in Breaking Bad.
Well, I remember 2009 vividly, and there weren't really a lot of payphones in 2009 either. So, the Jesse found a payphone is the bigger story, I feel like.
Yeah, call Adam Levine. Jesse's at a payphone calling Walter White. And so he leaves a very threatening message for him. He calls him an a-hole. And so now Walter's next phone call is to Todd, saying like, "Hey, can your uncle do me a solid? We've got one more guy to cross off the list."
Well, it's interesting because obviously that's the cliffhanger and that's the big deal. But you know, Jesse knows Todd's name, I would presume. I think we'd heard it. Jesse heard it said. We know Jesse knows it. So, and I'm fairly certain that Jesse knows some element of the fact that Todd's uncle was in prison. I know Jesse was in the room when some of that things were said. So I'm fairly certain Jesse can kind of put all that together. And Jesse's already a liability for those guys.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't think they're going to really hesitate to get involved with this.
All right.
And certainly Walter has money, so they're probably going to do whatever he wants. And in that regard, it's difficult for Jesse. But Jesse has a plan to hit him where he lives, so who knows where that's going to end up.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. All right, so this is the part of the show where we're going to bring in your feedback. We're going to take all of your questions. Send them in, hashtag RHAP, Labor Day weekend. So we'll take maybe a few more questions than we normally would here. Yeah, Antonio, are you going to barbecue tomorrow? What are you doing?
Yeah, I think I'm just gonna, you know, cook.
Whoa.
I'm just gonna cook.
Yeah,
Yeah.
there you go.
We'll see how that plays out.
All right. So, all right, here we go. First question of the night. And this one comes to us. This is from Ling Ling Jr. wants to know, do you think that Walt will give in to his wife and Saul, say multiple times when he calls Todd, Walt doesn't listen to anyone? Yeah, I think that's pretty much what he's doing there. He has given in to his wife and his lawyer.
Yeah, I think the thing that I would say, Ling Ling Jr., is that I wouldn't think Walt would consider this giving in. I think Walt would say, "This is my decision. You know, I've reached this point." Like I don't think he would say like, "Well, this is what Skyler and Saul wanted, so I guess I'll do it." You know, I think he would say like, "I believe this is the right thing to do." So I think Walt's point of view is this is not giving in. This is doing what he thinks is right.
Okay. Next question. This is from Subhash Mandel wants to know, was Hank teary-eyed when holding a gun to Jesse? So I don't think he was sad about holding a gun to Jesse. Could it have been the fumes from the gas?
Yeah, or just bald guy sweat, right? You know, like there's
Yeah,
no hair there
probably.
to keep it back. Yeah, it's just going to stream right down the forehead.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Well, it must be. It has to be, I would think. I don't know.
New
Shave your head again,
Mexico.
Rob. We'll find out.
Yeah, shave my head. That would be going against the advice of my wife,
Right. And I'm going to tell you not to do it
my
either. So
lawyer.
that would be
That's
going
right.
against the, yeah, absolutely.
All right. So D. Bloom says, don't you think Jesse made a huge mistake threatening Walt on the phone, old Yeller time? Yeah, kind of a bad move by Jesse to threaten Walter White. I mean, bad move to go to his house and pour the gas out and not finish the job, and a bad move to threaten him on the phone, I think.
Yeah, but this is a Jesse Pinkman that we saw in season 3, episode 11 or so, the half measures Jesse Pinkman, where You know, he feels partially responsible for the death of a child. He lets him get him to a point where, you know, he's willing to die. And I think we're, you know, he's always kind of had that, you know, death fascination. We saw it in Box Cutter when he really leans forward into the gory scene. And so it doesn't surprise me that he reaches the point where he's had enough and he's ready to go at Walter no matter what it takes, and even if it means he dies. So it's a bad decision, but it's not out of character for Jesse Pinkman at all.
Okay, next question. This is from Matt Gregg, says, is the phone call to Todd a red herring? I wouldn't think that it is, do you?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, I think that this is kind of the phone call Todd made to Walter. That kind of set up this open line of communication, and I think that this definitely plays a part in that. And I think that it's I don't think Walter was, you know, calling Saul's office and leaving a message. I think he was calling Todd, and he's ready to embrace this. What I will say is that we see in the flash forward Walt's getting the gun and the rice in and all of these things. There's definitely open speculation, and we've talked about it on the podcast, that he's coming after, you know, Todd's uncles, or Todd's uncle and his gang. So if that's the case, then maybe he does cast in motion a series of events that he later wants to take back, or maybe he's trying to get revenge, and maybe Jesse does die. But I would seem to think the flash forward might indicate that he actually does take action here.
Yeah, I would think that, you know, you wouldn't need a machine gun for Jesse.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
You'd have a
Unless
little
he's, you
frozen
know,
gun.
he's totally amped up and he's just dancing around. I don't think we'd need the machine gun.
All right, this is from Subhash Mandel. Is Marie rooting for Hank like this is a competition? I guess so. She's a good cheerleader, right?
Yeah, stand by your man, even if he, you know, isn't always wearing purple. Do you think Marie's ideal man is Grimace? Is that would she really be happy in that relationship?
Yeah, Grimace, or is anybody else? Is anybody else purple?
Yeah, Barney the dinosaur, maybe, if she's into the whole dinosaur thing.
Maybe somebody from the Lakers, perhaps.
Yeah, perhaps Lamar Odom.
Oh, well, no, he's in that. That could be a whole nother DEA thing for Hank to investigate. I don't think that would be a good idea. But yeah, Lamar Odom on like a Jesse Pinkman like disappearing bender, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe he just you know, just got sick of his reality a little bit, and maybe Lamar Odom, you know, maybe next time we see him, he'll be laying on a like a merry-go-round and you know, throwing just some of his salary money
Kardashian
into the
money, yeah,
air. Yeah.
probably. All right. So next question from I am the Cause. Our old buddy Cause says, "When Jesse said, 'I'm going to hit you where you really live,' what do you think he was trying to imply? I mean, we talked about this earlier in the show. Is it a physical place, or is Jesse being metaphorical?"
I think he's being metaphorical. I definitely don't think he's thinking I'm going to go to his secret hideout. I think my personal opinion is that he's talking about his ego, and he's going to, you know, campaign against his ego and his reputation and all of the things that he knows are what drives Mr. White. So, how that will manifest is why Vince Gilligan and others write Breaking Bad, and I talk about it. I'm not 100% sure, but I definitely think I think that's what Jesse would say is where Walt really lives. I think it's a metaphor.
Well, I want to hear your theories during the week on this one. Leave us your theories in the comments, and I will respond to them, and I'm sure Antonia will as well. On the Rob has a website, and on the YouTube comments of this video, I'm sure that somebody will come up with something smart. I don't know if we don't have to wait for BuzzFeed to come up with the 13 places that Jesse's gonna hit Walter White where he really lives. That's gonna blow your mind. I think we could come up with this before then. We're a day ahead of them. They won't put up anything on Labor Day.
Yeah, let's go, commenters. We can do it. I'm confident.
All right, from Fuggy Bootenling, our old friend. When is poor, clueless Walt Jr. going to finally have his rose-colored glasses removed? Does Walter Jr., where does he figure in with these last four episodes?
Well, you know, he obviously ends up somewhere because the house ends up empty. Heisenberg is spray painted on the wall. Is he on the run? Is he dead? It's not clear. Does he maybe like take off with Lewis and go fishing, a la Brokeback Mountain? No
Does he
one
live
can
with
really
Hank
say
and
for
Marie?
sure. Maybe he just moves in with Hank and Marie. That would probably be the happiest ending for Walt Jr. at this point. But yeah, I don't know. I think what we've got at this point, and that's kind of what would seem like a throwaway scene in this episode between Hank and Jr. by the pool, or between Walt and Jr. by the pool. I think we're coming to a moment this in these last four where we do see, you know, that. I think we've earned it. Although again, like the scene that we missed tonight, that with Gomi and Hank, we may not get it. But I think that if we had a scene where Walt Jr. found out, it would be in keeping with, you know, the conversation he had about the cancer and the manipulation, the conversation about the lie, the poolside conversation. I think that whole element is there if they want to, you know, investigate it or push it out a little more.
I want to take a comment that I got on my To Me on Twitter. This is from Devin Priester, and I think this is part a bigger conversation than Walter Jr., where Devin says, with no doubt being left about where Skylar stands, do you see any way she makes it out alive from this season? Because I don't. Antonio, does Skylar live through these next four episodes?
That's a very good question. I would say yes. I would say yes.
Does Skylar end up in jail?
I would say no. Yeah, no. I don't think so.
So you think that Walter White is getting away with this? Because if Skylar somehow ends up not dead and not in jail, presumably this was a happy ending.
Well, no, I mean, as the DEA has it right now, the DEA being Hank and Gomez, it probably isn't pinned too closely to Skylar. Hank was already willing to believe that she was, you know, mostly innocent in it. I will say that her being involved with the making of the videotape, although Hank may not recognize that, she was certainly at the dinner. Even at the dinner, she sort of apologized, you know, for everything that had happened. I think she would probably be ultimately forgiven. And I think we're ending up in a situation where Walter dies, perhaps heroically, in saving either his family or Jesse. And if that's the case, I don't think we'll see. I mean, in the epilogue of that kind of ending, could we see Skylar go to jail? Certainly. But I don't think we'll see it on our show. I just don't think the show will end up with Skylar in prison. But the great thing about this show is, I mean, there's times when you can predict it and you can kind of see where it's going. And then there are times where they just hit you out of left field. And you just, even the brilliant people who watch the show, write about the show, listen to the show, don't see things coming. So there's any number of things that could happen to Skylar. But I don't think she'll end up in jail, and I don't think she'll end up dead.
We'll see. We'll see exactly how it's going to play out for Skylar, because Jesse doesn't know about Skylar's involvement. He doesn't know about her laundering the money or anything like that, right?
Right. And to that effect, I don't know, other than Saul, I don't know too many people besides Walter that do know exactly what her involvement is. And Saul doesn't know everything about it, but Saul knows that, you know, she knows how to launder the money and she was involved with that. He knows about Beneke. So he knows about some key elements of Skylar's involvement. And so he's not exactly going to protect her, but he certainly isn't going to seek to bury her. She was his client after all. So she could make it out. The reason I think she won't die is I think that whatever happens, I think we're going to have that ultimate, you know, climax or confrontation or dramatic, you know, series of moments between her and Walt. And I don't think it will end with her dying, but certainly that would be a catalyst to bring Walter back from his, you know, being on the run. So it could happen.
So Ryan Webb on Twitter asks me, for killing Jesse, could Todd's uncle ask for something other than money? And light bulb sort of went off in my head here. You know what the price of killing Jesse is going to be, right?
Yeah, maybe some cooks, you know, maybe cooking some blue crystal. Yeah,
I think ending up with Walter teaching Todd how to run the kitchen again. I think that's what's going to be in exchange for going after and taking out Jesse.
That's certainly the leverage. I mean, they've got the leverage that, you know, if Walt really wants that to happen, they've got that leverage. And maybe that'll make Walt back down a little bit. You know, I mean, we do have four episodes left. They certainly could drag this sort of thing out over four episodes. It could get very much sped up, and Jesse could be gone in two episodes. I really don't know exactly how it will play out, but I do think that if Walt's engaging them and they perform the service, he's going to be screwed for sure.
All right. Here's from Subhash Mandel. I'm surprised Gomez wasn't like, Hank, are you high? Walt is Heisenberg. Were you surprised that Gomez didn't say that?
He probably did say it. I mean, he probably used more colorful language, and that's why it wasn't on the show.
Probably. This is from Zach Lynch. If that guy in the park was just waiting for his daughter, why was he staring right at Jesse? Hashtag Rob needs a mustache.
That's a fantastic hashtag, Zach. Yeah, I don't know. I think we were meant to perceive that for dramatic tension. Well, although, again, maybe the guy was just there answering a Craigslist ad, men seeking men, you know, seeking bald platonic relationship. And maybe he thought Jesse was the one who posted it. Maybe he was, you know, very interested in a particular article of Jesse's clothing. There's no way we can be sure unless we're that man and we're
yeah.
not.
So. No, it was a total red herring for us, you know, to trick us, the viewer, and for Jesse, even the way that Walter started walking towards him and walked past him. So it was, you know, there was no, it was nothing to do with that guy.
Yeah, not at all.
Yeah. From Subhash Mandel, it's almost like the actors are saying goodbye to each other, like the hug between Walter White and Jesse last episode. Hank and Jesse had their moment tonight. Do you feel like this is sort of like the end of Cheers? That you feel like everybody is sort of having hugs with each other?
I a little bit. And I've said this on past podcasts. I do think one of the neat things that they're doing, and some may not like it as much as you know I do, but this episode had some of it too. I would call it almost a clip show in that they kind of go over the greatest hits. And so on this episode, they went over, this is what Walter did for Jesse. Like he, you know, he paid for your rehab. He, you know, gave you 50-50 partnership. Like they kind of are hitting the high moments of these characters that we've seen throughout the series. The confession certainly did that. Jesse's confession, you know, that was tonight. When we go back, they start to mention again all of these key elements that we've covered over five previous seasons. So I think this show's doing a very smart thing of reminding us of all the things that have happened and where we are, what the stakes are, and what these people's history are. You know, there's a lot of people that pick the show up, you know, and watched it all right in a row. So maybe they remember, but for the people that haven't necessarily watched season one or season two in a long time, there can be some confusion. And I think the show is mindful of that. And I think it's also mindful of giving the characters their key character moments, like the hug between Walt and Jesse. So I think that's a pretty valid observation. And I'm sure the writers are definitely mindful of that.
Yeah. Rachel E says, why was Marie wearing so much black in this episode? Hashtag purple power. Did you think that Marie was wearing too much black and not enough purple?
I think any time Marie is not in purple is not the right thing for her. She should always be in purple, obviously. So, yeah, of course, you know, purple is the new black, I think.
That's right. And so Dylan on Twitter is asking me, did the scene where Walt is sitting near the pool remind you of when Walt was sitting near the pool in season four and came up with the idea to poison Brock? Both times Walter was thinking of how to deal with Jesse.
Yeah, I think that's a really strong observation. And I definitely think it was meant to echo that. I definitely think that's the callback we were supposed to have. We know, and it's interesting because this scene is directly following that, right? Like, had Walt not made the decision he made the last time he sat out in front of that pool, kind of tossing his thoughts over about Jesse, we wouldn't even have this scene. We may not have it because Walt might be dead, but we wouldn't have it because Walt wouldn't have poisoned Brock, and we wouldn't be where we are then. So not only is it meant to mirror that, it's also, like, inextricably linked to it in a way that's meaningful and that really stands out. So I think that's a really good observation.
Okay, this is from a legal standpoint. Are the actions of Hank and Gomez lawful? Okay, Antonio, this is when you can put on, give us your legal expertise. Is any of this admissible?
Well, see, that's the question of whether it's lawful or not is certainly different from the question of whether it's admissible. I think whether it's admissible, it's probably not. I mean, Jesse, as far as we know, he wasn't arrested. He wasn't Mirandized. He certainly has not been given any kind of indication of what his rights are. And that's kind of up to Jesse, though, ultimately. If, you know, if this comes out and they want to use it against Walter, it's just witness testimony, right? So that's fine. If they want to try to use it against Jesse, that's when the reading of his rights and whether he's arrested or not, that's when that comes into play. So we haven't seen kind of those discussions between Hank and, you know, Jesse or Gomi and Jesse about what his status is, what deals he was offered. I mean, was he offered immunity? He admitted a role in the Drew Sharp murder. He obviously admitted, you know, the actions of all these other things. And so they've got him kind of dead to rights on these things if they wanted to. But clearly, whether they would use it against him is different from whether they would use it against Walter. And in that regard, it's just witness testimony. If Jesse were to die and he was unavailable to testify, then there would be some argument as to whether this tape of him could come into court or not. And that's something that the lawyers would have to talk to the judge about and figure out whether it would work or not.
All right. Well, this is why you come here for Antonio. You are a practicing lawyer, and all good information.
Thanks, Rob. Practice makes perfect.
Yeah. Okay. So here's one from Devin Priester. Wants to know, did Jesse really come totally clean by even telling what he did in killing Gail? Do you think that Jesse told that part of the story? Or what does everybody, sort of like Todd in the diner last week, does everybody just tell all the parts of the stories where other people did bad stuff and leave out all the bad stuff that they did?
Yeah, Jesse was probably like, we had a perfect train robbery. Like, I don't know. Hank does refer to him as a murderer, like I said earlier. So I don't know if that means that he admitted what happened with Gail or if he just admitted his role in the Drew Sharp thing or if it's just Hank tagging Jesse for every bad thing he thinks Jesse's ever done. But I see no reason why, other than the immunity thing, why Jesse wouldn't have come clean. It's part of the story, and I feel like if they were questioning him, they would have said, like, well, why didn't Fring just kill you guys? You know, what happened with Bedeker? How did that happen? I'm sure Hank wanted to get to the bottom of that, so I doubt Jesse said Mr. White shot him. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure Jesse did tell him, so.
And this is from Nick2S. How many fathers in the wrong place have been into this show before, or is this the first time? Well, I don't know. Is this? Can you think of other fathers in the wrong place here, Antonio?
Not off the top of my head. I'm being tied back to Sopranos and Father Phil and Tintola, but yeah, I don't know. This certainly is a TV trope that I didn't see coming, but it you know, it made me laugh.
Yes. All right. And let's see. Any other questions? This is from Nick2S, what are your guesses for Lydia's role in the next episodes, as I am failing to see where she would come into play? Well, I think in the next episode, we have the conversation. I think we finally get Todd and Walter together. And I think that, you know, Todd's uncle says, hey, look, you want us to take care of this Jesse kid, then you got to teach Todd how to cook. He's going to be the new apprentice. We get you for, you know, 2 weeks to get this whole thing up and running. And then that's where Lydia comes into play, because now she's connected to Todd's uncle. I think that's how we get Lydia back in the picture.
Yeah, that would be the way to bring her back. Another way to bring her back, which I think is less likely, is she mentioned, you know, there's a lot of moving parts, and she kind of referenced that as a threat, as though that she had people in, you know, Chechnya or wherever, Czech Republic, you know, Eastern Europe, the places that she was selling to that were very disappointed with what was going on. So theoretically, there could be some blowback for that, and that's how she could also be involved. But the shortest answer is usually the right one. I think that's what you kind of hinted at.
Yeah. All right, let's take two more questions here. Was Jesse's CD important?
I don't think so.
What artist do you think it was?
Like I said, it was in Saul's car. So it's either, you know, just classic American gospel hymns, like they play in his office lobby. Or maybe it was, you know, power of positive thinking, like a Tony Robbins, or, you know, Saul also strikes me as the kind of guy that really likes Neil Diamond. So it could have been Neil Diamond.
Yeah. It wasn't Eric Clapton, Cocaine.
That's a little on the nose, or maybe up it.
A little up the nose. All right. Last question. This is from Michael Raj Paul. Do you guys think that the remaining four episodes will be violent and a roller coaster?
What do you think, Rob?
I think so. That sounds about, yeah. Sounds about right. All right, one
more
question
after
that. I think
if I went on a roller coaster is about what I would say.
I'll be surprised if the last four episodes are not violent or not a roller coaster. Then it will be very disappointing.
I agree.
Yes. Okay. That one last question. This is from Subhash. Walter White ends up in jail with Jerry, Elaine, Costanza, and Kramer. Could we have the Seinfeld ending where Walter White is sentenced to 1 year in jail at the end of the episode?
For not helping when the crime was being committed? I mean, I think he's already done that with Jane, so maybe if it gets found out, maybe the Judge Vandalay will just throw him right in the clink, yeah.
Yeah. All right, do we have any other real questions? I suspect not, because if we're up to the Seinfeld ending here. All right, one last one. This is from Zach Lynch. Would the show have been as good if they would have cast Ben Affleck as Walter? Okay, well, the internet is already in an uproar that you're talking about this. Ben Affleck is Walter White.
I'm not buying it. I think that, you know, the problem is Matt Damon and Kevin Smith would inevitably have shown up on the show, and I just think that would have tanked it.
Matt Damon as Jesse Pinkman?
Actually, now you're on to something. I hadn't thought of it that way, but maybe we got a little bit of something going on there.
Yeah, this is from earlier tonight. Fuggy Bootenling tweeted, maybe where Walt really lives is amongst the heartless criminals a la Todd, and he calls Todd Meth Affleck, which I believe is an original nickname for Todd. And then Dom Harvey at MC Usher says, I think you mean Meth Damon. So do you like either of those nicknames for Todd?
I'll buy it on Meth Damon for sure.
Meth Damon?
I think I've heard that before.
Very good.
Yeah, I'm all in on that one. That one works, and he's so polite, and maybe he could talk about Lydia and say, I got her number. How do you like them apples? You know, like maybe we could play into a nice tie-in with Good Will Hunting. I'm sure that's what everyone's expecting this show to do, and really hopes that it will do. So.
Yes. All right, Antonio. Well, this was a very fun trip here. With the final four episodes of Breaking Bad. Now, I was looking at the calendar recently, and I was looking at my sundial, and I was looking at my wife. And so just to give a little bit of a heads up here, so Baby Sesternino is due the 28th of September. The Breaking Bad finale is September 29th. So we're cutting it very close. I've asked Nicole to not go into labor during the Breaking Bad finale because somebody's going to ruin it for me and then it's going to spoil it. And I'm going to be, you know, somebody's going to be like, oh, did you hear it was all a dream? Oh, come on. You ruined it for me. So we're going to be watching out for that bogey there with the Breaking Bad finale coming up. But hopefully... maybe baby Sesternino is either, you know, can time this out better, because we got a lot of podcasts coming up here in September.
Are there any Breaking Bad character names in play for baby Sesternino without revealing any details about the possible gender of baby?
I would say that there are no Breaking Bad names in the works right now.
That's because Skyler works for a boy or a girl, is all I'm saying.
Yes. Yeah.
And if it's a boy, Antonio wouldn't be a bad name either. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah. I was trying to talk Nicole into Huel for a boy, and she did not like that. Or Holly for a girl, or QB. Any of those were no dice.
No goes. Well... I guess better luck next time.
Yes. All right. So let me just give you a little quick rundown of what's coming up this week on Rob Has a Podcast on Tuesday. I'm working on this. This is going to be fun. The best of the Survivor 27 returnees on Rob Has a Podcast. That is coming up on Tuesday. Then we have a Big Brother double eviction. That's going to be, we're going to be live with Ian Terry after that on Thursday night. And Friday night, Antonio, are you ready for Survivor Blood versus Water?
I am more than ready. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm very excited. I like both of those things, blood and water.
Yeah, so do you like that concept? You like the loved ones?
I think it could work. I like some of the twists. I'm not sure I like all of them, but I like the idea that they probably went to the island thinking they might have a chance to play together, and they find themselves pretty quickly on separate tribes. And I think some of these relationships are distant enough that I can quickly see people selling them out. So I think that with the right, just like anything else, with the right casting, I think they could pull this off.
See, I disagree with you there. I don't think anybody sells out a family member, but I was thinking about this today, and there's just been so many crazy moments in the history of Survivor that have roughly something to do with either a loved one or being separated from your boyfriend or girlfriend. And I just think that that's probably a really good source of drama. Probably like makes things get really crazy, as opposed to, okay, I don't care if you vote out my friend that I met 3 days ago, but hey, if you vote out my wife, I'm gonna freaking kill you, man. Like, I do think that there is a really big added level of tension because of that.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And I also think that there's the ability to say, and they've put it in there with the Redemption Island twist, but the ability to say, like, okay, don't put the target on me. And we're seeing this obviously with Big Brother and who's on the block and how that plays out. But I think the ability for somebody to step up and take the bullet for themselves when the bullet might be intended for somebody else and all of that drama, that's certainly there too. And I think for some of them, like Tina, for example, who's already got the money, she may be more likely to put herself in a position where she's taking the heat and protecting someone else. And I think that that's there's some validity to that.
I was just thinking back to like that whole Boston Rob and Lex fiasco from the All Stars, and that was just over that Boston Rob's girlfriend that he was had been, hanging out with for 18 days might have gotten voted out. So he basically makes this, promise. So you guys know how that all works out. But I mean, but that was sort of a loved one type thing, and that wasn't even like somebody that had a real relationship. They sure they're married now, but they were not at the time that whole thing went down.
Yeah, and can you imagine Rupert? Like, we know how he feels about his wife. We've seen it play out in all the loved one visits. So I don't know how that would sound like, but I imagine he wouldn't be too happy if someone voted out his wife.
So more on that. So Friday night, we Nicole and I will be live for the Survivor 27 preview and prediction show. Believe it or not, this is the seventh time that Nicole and I will do the Survivor cast preview as we get ready to podcast about our eighth season of Survivor on Rob Has a Podcast. And then we'll be back next Sunday night for more Big Brother and more Breaking Bad podcast. So it's going to be a very busy week on Rob Has a Podcast. And plus, we'll have the debut later this week of my NFL podcast that is starting off, which is outside of the Rob Has a Podcast world. But Time Out with Terrell Owens, that's coming up Wednesday of this week. And I'll send out a link if anybody's interested in hearing about us talk about some NFL. So, Antonio. We kept you up late. Hopefully you could sleep in tomorrow.
I can and I will.
All right. And I will too. So have a great night, everybody. Thank you, Scott St. Pierre, for pulling all of these questions. Thanks to everybody who stayed up late with us and submitted your questions. And subscribe, if you're watching this on YouTube, subscribe to our channel for more reality TV and some Breaking Bad talk over these next couple of weeks. Or subscribe to our iTunes feed at robiswebsite.com/iTunes. Have a great week, everybody. Happy Labor Day. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye.